Welcome to the Life Talk Show, sharing ideas for meaning, joy, and success with Randy Kay, Diana Hall, and Nikki Tombolides. Our mission is to initiate conversations that enrich and empower your life. And now, today's Life Talk Show.
Thanks for joining us, everyone. I am Jim Masters. This is the Life Talk Show, sharing ideas for meaning, joy, and success, and conversations that will enrich and empower your life. I'm joined by my co-hosts today, Diana Hall and Nikki Tombolides. Good to see you both.
Well, welcome, Jim. We're so excited to have you. As everybody knows, Randy had an accident, but he's still recovering, but doing really well. So we're so lucky and to introduce Jim, who is going to be here with us and joining us for the Life Talk Show.
And not filling in anymore. Yeah.
Member.
Yeah.
I say he was probably smitten by the three of us. What do you say, Jim?
Of course. Yes. I'm so happy to be your fourth host here.
Good luck, Jim.
Yeah. Good luck. Welcome.
That's what I heard. Well, we're going to be motivated because our topic is the Monday morning motivator.
And today's Monday.
And how good can you make it, which I think is exciting. First, I just want to mention we have some sponsors that we want to thank. First, our thanks to the Life Talk Show's new home, Bobab Studios, formerly known as the Grove Studios, located at 71 Orange Street in New Haven, Connecticut, the wonderful Elm City. Thanks to our technical team as well. We also thanks for the support, Dynamic Printing, dynamicprinter.com, and Gabriel Tax and Accounting Services at gabrieltax.com. It's always great to have sponsors. We're always looking for more sponsors if you'd like to join us as well. But we've got
LifeTalkShow.com.
LifeTalkShow.com. Also, we're on Facebook too, so we're very socially media aware as well. We've got a special guest, Gail Blanke, who's going to be joining us to talk about the Monday Morning Motivator as well. And it's quite exciting. She is an amazing, amazing person.
She is. And she writes a blog every Monday, which I look forward to it. And I often send her, shoot her an email. And she took all her blogs and she made it to a great book, The Monday Morning Motivator. And we're going to talk about it with Gail herself, the real thing, pretty soon in a few minutes. But before we do that,
we want to talk about how good you can make it and how you feel about that, right?
We did our homework.
Yeah. So, Nikki, how good can you make it if you could control everything and have it in the way that would be perfect and good? And
yeah. Could I? Like, say I take the snow away.
Number one, yes. I think
yes,
we agree with that.
Yes, here in the Northeast.
Absolutely. More tomorrow, more Thursday.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So starting Monday, learning to navigate my way around because my GPS took me to, like, China. But anyway, doing Gail's exercise on how good could you make it? If it were really, really good, if absolutely anything were possible, what would you love to make happen to commit? We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, and fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? And because I have, as you guys know, a cleaning service, I am working on natural cleaning products, and I want to make them available to every single human being around the world. So as I'm working on them, that's my dream, and also to make this show syndicated and make it successful, more successful than what we are right now. And my dream is, if I succeed professionally with my goals and everything, to make sure that I tackle the mental illness and I support NAMI, the National Association of Mental Illness, because I have mental illness in my family. So these are my goals. And
beautiful.
My dreams.
Wonderful. Yeah.
I'll tell you, it was really thought provoking when knowing that Gail was coming on and what how could I make my life perfect? And really for me, it's just finding that harmony and balance in my life, kind of striking that perfect balance, like the Chinese philosophy, the yin and yang, where yin is the feminine and yin is very dark and negative and the yang is positive, bright, and masculine, but they strike a balance. So it made me think about work. And as I've shared with our listeners, I've taught for 22 years and I never really felt like it was the right fit for me. I think it was, I loved my students, That's what kept me going. But the structure, the rigidity, the mundane of teaching middle school for 22 years.
And teach for the test. And,
right.
You know, it's.
Yeah. And I think for me, being a more creative type, it was too confining. So I struck out on my own and opened my interior design business, something I had done previous to teaching, and opened my business 10 years ago. Well, I decided to retire from teaching and run my business and be a sole proprietor. And being a business owner is something that's very challenging. You wear many hats and always in search of the next job. We're teaching. The job is there.
It's there. Yeah, it's steady.
Yeah. Right. So exactly. I think for me, in terms of finding that harmony, balance in work, it's the flexibility and stability. So that's the work piece. But in my relationship, so I've been with my husband 22 years. And
well done.
Yeah. 22. 24 years. Don't tell him I said that.
I hope
keep
he's
that,
not
keep
listening.
That a secret.
There will be no edits with this show. We're keeping it in. We're on a clock.
It feels like 22
years.
It feels like
back.
The honeymoon. Can I retrieve? So anyway, so he is like my rock. And you know how new relationships are very exciting and there's just that heart pounding. But in a new relationship, you're always working out the kinks and you're really not sure if it's going to last. Well, you know, I think after 24 years, I'm pretty confident it's going to last. But to find that balance in relationships, it's the predictability and the spontaneity, you know, the predictability of
kind of like
somebody.
What you just said with your career,
right?
You're like, right, the stability and to be able to be
right.
spontaneous,
yeah.
right?
So it's the you know, predictability and the spontaneity.
Yeah. Yeah.
So really, I think for me to have the perfect life, the perfect work situation, and the perfect relationship, it's really just trying to strike a balance.
Between those two.
Yeah. Between
right.
those two.
Yeah.
I think striking a balance is the most important
balance
thing.
Is very, very important. And I agree wholeheartedly with what you said. I similar in that way where I have positions in my career where it's stable and it's predictable, but then you can get a phone call and you could be in Oshkosh, you know,
right.
within seconds. So there is that flexibility. But same thing too is not wanting to be boxed in a cubicle, but still liking that structure and certain elements of that structure, but liking creativity and the ability to run and jump like I do all the time. So that's mm-hmm. really, really important. I think for me, as far as making things good, I always try to strive to do that every day. I always try to do something today that makes tomorrow better for people around me.
I love that.
That is
very important.
Whatever, you know, yeah. what it may be. But I think for me, I think what would make it even better is if I didn't think about things so much and just did them.
You're a
because
dweller.
I'm a dweller, a thinker.
Yeah.
I rehash, I review. We'll go to a gathering, a party. We'll see everybody. I'll be the first one in the car to say, what did you think? Should I have spent more time with him? Should I have gone over to say hi to her? Should I? So I'll review it when everybody else has moved to the next thing.
I think a
balance would be to not overanalyze or overthink every little detail and just let things flow. Because a lot of times when you do, I'm somebody where if you get in the car with me, sometimes like when family comes, especially when my mother comes to visit, we'll get in the car and I'll say, you want to go for a ride? And she knows that that's probably going to be an all-day event. We're going to end up in Vermont with no plans. It's just spontaneous. And wherever we go, the little shops, the little cafes, the little scenic places, Yankee Candle, whatever it is, it's totally unplanned. It's unscripted. And it's fantastic.
That's fun.
The ones that are over-prepared and planned where you're,
right.
it's got to be at 2 o'clock and then the show starts at 4 and then we got, are fun too. But I like the balance of getting in the car sometimes and just ending up somewhere and creating a day that was not planned.
Right.
And that's fantastic. There's something really enriching about that.
So how good could you make it, as Gail is asking the question?
I would say just lightening up on myself.
Mm-hmm.
I would say if I did that, that would allow me then to just let things happen.
Mm-hmm.
Just let things happen, you know, because I tend to be a caretaker. and I tend to be a good host. Mm-hmm. I'm the one hosting. I'm the one guiding. I'm the mm-hmm. one rescuing. I'm the one. So I'm always thinking of ways to do that in advance of doing it, as opposed to just letting it happen. So I think it would be super good if I just let it happen, let it flow. Because I tend to lean a little bit towards perfectionist, not about requiring that from others, but for myself and my work and just how I handle myself and making sure that I've dotted all I's, crossed all T's, you know, made sure every detail is taken care of.
So I'm hearing from you too. It sounds like striking a balance. That balance instead of being over the top in one way, over analytical or
overthinking.
Yeah. Yeah, just being a little bit more relaxed and accepting of the situation
and
that just happened.
And more forgiving of ourselves. I think we're too tough on ourselves. We always want this perfectionist. And you give me the impression that maybe you want everything to be just perfect.
I think if you're a performer, too.
Exactly.
If you're a performer in some way, even a writer, a journalist, where you're creating. Like, I'm sure when you're doing interior decorating.
Yeah, but you know
it's
what?
It's all about the detail and the perfection.
And the color.
Absolutely.
I think the word perfection to me should be like, it's an obscene word.
You're probably the same way.
Yeah, but I am.
When you're cleaning, that's got
to
be.
I like to be perfect, but not perfect.
There's a lot of work.
There is, you know, there is no such thing as perfection in anything. So if you realize that.
You could strive for perfection, right?
Yeah.
Which is a nice thing.
So I think it's a little.
Well, we want to bring Gail Blanke into our show. This is the second time we've had Gail join us on the Life Talk show. First time was about a year or so ago when we talked about her book, winner of the prestigious award, Books for a Better Life from the MS Society. Throw out 50 things, clear the clutter, find your life.
And we've been throwing them.
Yeah. Yes, this is a good time of year to do it with the winter and the snow. She is president and CEO of Life Designs, a company whose vision is to empower men and women worldwide to live exceptional lives. Gail is a motivational speaker, renowned executive and life coach, best-selling author of The Monday Morning Motivator, her fifth book. She is considered one of the finest motivational speakers in the country among her credits, just to name a few, a keynote speaker to Harvard Business School, Beijing University, with workshops for corporations like GE and JP Morgan, articles of her books, or appeared in major publications such as the Wall Street Journal, Newsweek, Oprah Magazine. She's appeared on ABC with Diane Sawyer. She's majored in acting at the Yale Graduate School. Talk about balance.
Wow.
And was one of the youngest female vice presidents of Avon Products. She launched the widely acclaimed Avon Breast Cancer Awareness Crusade, which has raised nearly $1 billion to date.
Whoa.
She is called the Motivational Maven. Gail's website is Gail Blanke, that's GAILBLANKE.com. And it's our honor and great privilege to have with us via phone from New York. This is Gail Blanke. Thank you for joining us on the Life Talk show today, Gail. It's a real pleasure.
I'm so happy to be with you guys. What a rich conversation you've already had. My goodness. By the way, I want to tell you, straight off the bat, that perfectionism,
yes,
like martyrdom, is highly overrated. Okay,
that's why I love her. That's why I love Gail.
It really, it's not about being perfect.
Thank you, Gail. Thank you, Gail, for that.
So, if you're going to throw something out, by the way, like throw out 50 things, you
throw
might
perfection
throwing out needing to be perfect. That goes with all you guys.
Number one on my list.
Oh, and Jim, one of the things that you said, which really struck me, with the whole idea of analyzing stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yes, overthinking, reviewing, yeah.
Oh, God. And, you know, I one of my motivators I wrote was called Don't Pick It Apart.
I remember that.
Because you can almost destroy something by picking it apart and overanalyzing it. And
true, very true.
You know, and sometimes you, to your point, you if you pick it apart too much, then you don't really have anything left. Nothing, again, it goes back to nothing is perfect. That doesn't mean, and none of us is perfect, that doesn't mean that it and we can't be wonderful. It can be wonderful.
And, that,
doesn't have to be perfect.
You know, it's a great example of that, just for what I do with my work on radio and television. When I do something on television, because I've worked with PBS for years and a lot of other networks and stations, and when I do something on television, if it's not live, it's taped, and then it airs, usually the first time I see it, I don't like anything about it. I find 1,000 things right. that I said, did, expressions, everything. And everybody else was saying, you were on the mark. It was incredible. Great job. You were warm and comfortable and the whole bit. Then when I remove myself, walk away and look at the tape again, and after that initial shock value, because you have expectations in your mind of how good it was and all the moves and everything, the cameras, the whole bit. Then when I look at it again, I suddenly start to let up on myself and like it more and appreciate it and say, you know, under those conditions, in that environment, that really was good.
You know, you're saying something really interesting, because one of the things I do as a coach is I help people present themselves powerfully. And I write sort of the way to do that. I call it being unforgettable. And one of the elements of that, of course, is the fact that you're having a conversation with the audience. You're not, you know, you're not teaching or preaching. But one of the key elements is, as our younger daughter always says to me before I go to make a speech, she'll just say, do you, Mom, just do you. And it's just being ourselves. And that means not being perfect. I always like to contrast Bill Clinton to Al Gore. Al Gore could deliver a perfect presentation, but you might not remember most of it because
there's a stiffness.
You know, it's like a knife through butter, and it's about teaching and preaching also, rather than motivating and inspiring. Clinton, when he does it, he cares so much about the audience that he might just stop for a minute to search.
And
for
he
the
takes
right
you with
word.
Him.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and,
I know.
And then he does that, he's just gotcha. So it's not about being perfect. It's not how much you know, even. It's how much you care. And that's how you connect.
That's right.
And
that's exactly
any
right.
kind of speaking, in the end, is all about connecting. And that means loving the message and, above all, loving the audience. And when they feel that, boy, you
and,
got them.
And when you're a good listener, too, and you really, really care enough to listen to what they're saying. So many
and
people, even interviewers, they'll have all the questions. And they'll be so concerned about the next question, they're not listening to what the person is saying, and they're responding.
Yeah.
And when that happens, you know, they could be missing something glorious that
could be missing the whole heart of the matter.
Yeah.
But you know, another thing you said, Jim, was that sometimes it's a good idea to, in order to be happy, to make good stuff happen. You know, sometimes, you know, it is really pretty tough out there.
Yeah,
I mean, man's inhumanity to man and all the really bad stuff that's going on out there is you know, most of us have never experienced anything like that. So sometimes we have to create good stuff. And I wrote a motivator called It's Not About the Shoes. And it was about, I bought this new pair of shoes. I spent much more than I meant to spend, and it was pouring down, rainy days. First day I wore these fabulous shoes, and I had to get home, and I was looking for a cab, and I did that thing, you know, where you say, I'm just going to will a cab to come, and I know somehow out of the pouring down rain it will appear. And so amazingly, a cab did come. In fact, it stopped right in front of the building I was standing in front of. And this woman got out, and she looked at me and said, hey, nice shoes. I said, thanks. And I got into the cab, and we go whipping up Madison Avenue, and we finally stopped at a light, and I looked out the window, and I saw this guy standing there, a young man with a dog wrapped in a towel. And he looked very worried. And the light changed, and we, you know, started back up. And I said to the cab driver, hey, did you see that guy with the dog? And he said, yeah. And I said, okay, you got to pull over. I got to go back and get that guy. I think they have to go to the animal medical center or something. And I said, listen, you pull over. I'm going to go get him. But don't let anybody in this cab, okay? Because everybody's going to be trying to get in this cab. Don't, and I'll be right back. So I go racing down two blocks and get the guy with the dog, bring him back. Miracle, the cab driver is actually standing outside the cab with the door open for the guy with the dog. They get in. I close their door. They whip up Madison Avenue, and I walked home about 11 blocks, maybe 12, in the pouring down rain. And you know that squishing noise that your shoes make?
Yeah.
When they're really, really wet.
Yeah.
I walked home. I was singing, actually, on the way home in the rain. And I walked into the apartment, and my daughter, Abigail, said, oh, my God, are you all right? And then she said, oh, no, look at your new shoes. Mm-hmm. And I said, yeah, I know. But there was this guy with the dog, see? Okay. I was happy the rest of the week, and I'm happy now thinking about
it. Just thinking about it.
Because I did a good thing.
Yeah.
And it was more important than anything.
And it carries
you through.
Made
a good thing happen.
Yeah.
Right. It's those little things.
And when you do that, don't you? I mean, and we all have those experiences. We have to wrap our arms around them a little bit more and celebrate them, making the good stuff happen.
It puts a big smile on your face. It carries you through, as you said.
It does.
It carries you through for the whole week, and then you still remember it fondly.
Yeah.
But Gail, what if you feel, you know, when you have this desire to seek out good and do good things and surround yourself with good people and, you know, maybe take negative things that happen and pull out the goodness, if sometimes you feel like you're swimming in the opposite direction of the masses, that it's harder and harder to do that because everybody else seems maybe pessimistic or too busy or they got to, you know, I don't have time for this. What do you do to continue, you know, on the that good road that you're on, fighting the good fight, literally, when it seems like the rest of the world, as you alluded to, you know, there's a lot of negativity and things going on.
Yeah, there, yeah, there really is. And I think there's a tendency for all of us to somehow take pleasure in being right about how wrong it is. And, you know, you almost roll around in being right about how wrong everything is. And so, listen, in the end, we are what we think about. And I was thinking the other day about, you remember that wonderful film, A League of Their Own?
Yeah. With
Tom Hanks and Gina Davis and the first women's professional baseball team. And Tom Hanks is the manager and Gina Davis is the catcher. And at one point, she goes up to him, you know, towards the end of the film, and she says she's going to quit. And Tom Hanks says, why would you quit? And she says, it just got too hard. And he says, hard. It's supposed to be hard. If it wasn't hard, everybody would do it. It's the hard that makes it great. Okay, it's hard to find the good stuff. It's hard to, you know, have everybody else switch their focus from how bad to how good. But somehow, you know what? That's what makes it great, that when you do it,
it feels
or you
great.
Encourage somebody else to do it.
Gail, let me ask you, though. You know, it's, and I understand that always, like, swimming upstream. And how do you... We talk about motivation. How do you continue to be motivated when you keep running into these walls and everything you have good intention to make things happen and it doesn't seem to work out? How in your mind, like that self-talk, that positive self, how do you talk yourself into, besides that you can't give up, how do you just push forward, you know, to a place that is comfortable or you're feeling some success?
You know, I think you've got to look hard for the good stuff and celebrate it. Even I talk about all the littles in life. Mm-hmm. You know, there are a lot of little
cherish tiny, the little things.
Yeah, you got to gather up the littles, because in the end, that's what life is about, not the great big fat thing that you know that is going to sort of change your life good. But it's all the
little day.
Yeah, and so you kind of just look for that little thing that you can celebrate, one little thing, and you wrap your arms around it. It's hard, you know. It is hard. Oh, speaking of, I got films on my mind. Remember that terrific film, A Beautiful Mind?
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
John Nash is about John Nash, the mathematician.
Oh yeah.
Paranoid schizophrenic, and at one point he was doing better, and the Nobel Prize Committee was considering giving him the Nobel Prize in mathematics, a very, very big deal. And so a member of the committee went to see him. He was at that point, he had gotten a bit better, and he was back teaching at Princeton. Mm-hmm. And so they had tea in the Great Hall at Princeton. The Nobel Prize Committee guy said to John Nash, played, of course, by Russell Crowe, he said, "Do you still, you know," and John Nash said, "see them?" Meaning the people that he saw, remember, that were always in his mind.
Absolutely.
That almost created tragedy in his life, because they, to him, were very real. And John Nash said, "Yes," he said, "they're still there. But I choose not to acknowledge them, because like all our dreams and all our nightmares, you have to feed them for them to live." So I figure if John Nash on any given day can feed his dreams and not his nightmares, and decide not to acknowledge those negative visions that he sees, then so can we. We can do that.
That is so true.
You are a true motivator, Gail. Tell me, how did the motivation, the Monday morning motivator, started? Like, how did you, the very first one, do you remember the very first one that you wrote, and why? I'm just dying to know this.
I had been writing a column for Real Simple Magazine for a couple of years. And of course, that was a monthly column. And when that gig ended, I thought to myself, I really like doing this, and my mission in life is to motivate and inspire people, and I have to continue to do that as well as my other work. So I'm just and my column was called The Motivator, and so I decided that I would do it every Monday morning without fail, and we call it The Monday Morning Motivator. And, in terms of the first one I ever wrote, I might have written it about what we call in my family, Mumsy's Heart Keeper. I might have written it about, I had double bypass surgery, a few years ago. And, it was frightening and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Somehow it turned out to be a really good thing, a really good thing.
It redirected your focus?
Yeah, and
it's amazing how
turning the how
happen.
Bad into the how good.
It's amazing how sometimes, right?
Right.
Yeah, something.
I mean, you know, when something like that happens, you really get in touch with
it's
yourself,
a reassessment. Yeah.
What it's in the end all about.
Yeah.
And of course, I wrote this column about it, because one of the guys I worked at with at Real Simple said, "Gail, you got to write about it." So I did, and I had basically saved my own life by thinking that something was wrong when everybody told me I was in perfect shape, and went to see a cardiologist, even though my regular doc said I didn't need to. Anyway, I wrote this column about sometimes you got to follow your instincts. That's what it was called, following your instincts. And as a result, at least five women wrote me. I don't know how many didn't write me, but felt this way, and actually did what I did. They got themselves checked out because they had a funny feeling something might be wrong. and five of them saved their own lives. They actually saved their lives. They would not be here today had they not done what I did and listened to my heart, actually.
How do you, you know, so you talked about intuition. So how do you separate what you believe is intuition and not paranoia?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Very true.
You're right, listening right. to the Life Talk Show.
Well, you know, that's tricky. And you might, it's easy to fall into the paranoia thing. I try to make positive assumptions. I try to walk into every situation with a positive assumption. And I wrote a motivator called "Why Wait to Be Unhappy When You Can Be Unhappy Now?"
Oh, yeah. I read that.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, go ahead, be efficient, you know, right. Save time, be unhappy now. And that's, in fact, I might write a book about that. And that's how we make negative assumptions about just about everything that happens. You know, they don't answer your email. What do you make it mean? You know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And
that's
I think one thing that, Gail, that touches me with a Monday Morning Motivator is that it appeals, and you're funny. You mention your family. You talk about everyday life.
Our dog.
You talk about Willa, your daughters. I mean, I feel like I know the whole family, and it touches me because. And I think the reason of its success is because it's about everyday issues. Like one thing you said about your daughter, one motivator that comes to mind is that she goes, "Mom, land the plane." I love that.
That's when I use that with the people I coach because I was talking on and on and on and on about something. And she finally said, "Will you just land the plane?"
Oh, how often?
and you are
zip it in basic terms.
It. Right, right.
Well, no, but you are funny in your motivators. Yeah. Like you say to one, the Nora Ephron one. At the Wesleyan College, that she said, "Don't be frightened. You can always change your mind. I had four careers and three husbands."
Yeah.
I love that.
You said something really interesting, Gail, when you were talking about you could always, you know, why wait to be unhappy when you could be unhappy now? What if you're somebody who, and I can, you know, attest to this myself sometimes, I tend to be somebody who tries daily to prevent problems from happening before they actually happen. So I go through life always trying to think ahead of the curve, think ahead of the train coming into the station.
See, that's why you're a dweller.
And I'm always, I'm always trying to do a lot of different things so that way there a problem doesn't arise from it.
But problems are good. Let Gail, that's Gail's question.
Yeah.
You know, again, it's a delicate balance. You want to think ahead a bit so that you don't get surprised by, you know, something that you could have easily prevented. But
there is a but.
To be obsessed with that, to be so, it's like picking, you know, your other tendency, Jim, in terms of picking things apart. Until you can kill something, as I said, by picking it apart. Mm-hmm. I learned that when we dissected frogs in the seventh grade. I said, "But when are we going to put them back together?"
That's right.
No, yeah. But I like when Gail said, "When are we going to put them back together?"
Right, right.
The teacher got annoyed with that question too, by the way. But, So I think that you have to kind of catch yourself and say, "You know what? I've thought of one thing that maybe, you know, I'll make sure so that I don't miss the train, whatever it is. Other than that, let it go and trust your ability to handle things on the spot. You don't have to anticipate everything
in advance, right? That's so true.
You don't.
Absolutely. Right.
You can trust yourself. And I think in general, we need to trust ourselves more.
So it sounds like you're saying, so people that really try to control every situation, to avoid, you know, negativity. I mean,
surprise or disaster or right, shock.
But that's so, it's so ingrained in some of us. I mean, that Let It Go, the Frozen song, Let It Go. I love that song. But it's true about, right? I mean, that's why it's affected so many people.
And resonated in so many people. Yeah.
But if it's just part of you, you're so apt to just control. I mean, how do you just let it go?
That reminds me of Gail's one of the Monday morning motivators, because as you can tell, I love them. She talks about you go for an interview and somebody asks you, where would you want to be in 5 years, 10 years? And I remember I went for the local Stop and Shop thing, and they're not our sponsors or anything, but they were interviewing for a managerial
position.
But if
they'd like to be,
and the
welcome.
Guy asked me years ago after college, where would you like to see yourself with our organization? I said, certainly not with you guys. And of course, I never got the job, because after he was telling me how he moves the fish to another store, I said, oh God, I cannot imagine myself making that my life. And when he asked me, I answered him very naturally. I said, not with your organization, for sure. And one of your motivators is the question that you do not like is, where would you want to see 5 years, 10 years? And it's just so, like, stale.
I never liked that one either. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, you can.
Life is evolving.
Yeah, you can.
And so are you.
Life is supposed to be an adventure. And an adventure is something that where you don't know at the beginning how it's all going to turn out at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it wouldn't be an adventure. Now, that doesn't mean that you're reckless and wanton in living your life, but it does mean that you treasure serendipity,
mm-hmm.
and that you trust your instincts, and you trust the future to present you with things that you could never in a million years have predicted. The other thing is about knowing where you want to be, you know, 5, 10 years from now, is that you're assuming that, you know, you're going to know then what you know now and nothing more. In other words, we are constantly
changing, learning
about mm-hmm. ourselves. And when we're presented with tough situations, we have to find something in ourselves we didn't know we had.
Mm-hmm.
And that broadens our view of ourselves, because we say, hey, gee, if I could do that, what else could I do? And so we get bigger and bolder, and we change and we evolve. And that's what we're supposed to do.
And that's why you always hear people say things like, gee, I wish I knew then what I know now.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody says that.
Right.
Everybody
you
says
know,
that.
I just want to say that I was listening to PBS. There was a show about...
good choice.
hey. Well... I was watching you too, Jim. But there was a show about Bill Gates, how he will be remembered. And mm-hmm. they were saying he will be remembered for his foundation.
Yeah.
And I think, Gail, you will be remembered because you did the Avon, the cancer thing, and you're doing the Monday Motivator and the 50 things, because it's all geared towards helping us every day live a better life. That's the way I see it.
Yeah. It has a lasting effect.
It does.
It's a lasting effect.
It has an impact that
goes well beyond
years. It changed my
life.
And I said to myself, I have this aha moment. And I'm like, gee, Gail said it's okay.
How did it change your life?
Well, because for example, the 5, 10 years, I had like a guilt, because I remember I went back and I told my dad and my mom. And I said, you know, guys, this is what I told the guy at the Stop and Shop interview for a manager. But my father goes, are you crazy? The guy will never consider you. I said, but that was not a job that I wanted to be, like, thinking about how I'm going to screw up the people from the fish to another supermarket that is more crowded to sell them old fish. I don't like that. It's not,
you know, you've got to hand it to yourself, Nikki, because even then you knew a good part of who you were, what you stood for, and the kind of life that you wanted to live. You didn't know exactly, but you knew it wasn't mm-hmm. that. And that's very gutsy. And you have to congratulate yourself for having that kind of optimism and confidence
that I'm not going to be with you guys.
Yeah. And but wait, and Faith?
And I'm going to tell you.
I'm going to tell you.
Where I would have probably had a sweet response. Why, thank you very much. Right. But we can still go for coffee, right?
Thanks, Gail. But all I'm saying is answering Jim's question is when you know that when I read that part and I said, oh my God, Gail thinks it sucks too. Like the question, because I thought to myself for the longest time, and that's what validation in so many things, there's a little voice in our head that says, well, maybe I was wrong. Maybe my dad was right that this is not a proper way to answer the guy. But with Gail reading the Monday Morning Motivator, it validated me that but I said
you relate to what she says, right?
Yeah. You followed your instincts, my dear, and that is a good thing to do. It really is. Hey, I want to say one other thing before I forget. One of the motivators is called Mondays Are for Singing. And Nikki, you know this. I think everybody needs to have a song. You got to have a song that just does it for you, you know, that reminds you of how good you are, how hot you are, how good life is. You know, that song that, you know, maybe everybody was singing on the way back from that basketball game that your team pulled out of the fire or whatever. And the song that just makes you feel wonderful. And you haul that song out and sing it. Whenever I'm pitching a book, I sing my song, which happens to be I'm the Greatest Star from Funny Girl. But
I love that song.
But I wrote a motivator about this young woman who had been out of work for a really long time. And she had found a job, a position at Facebook. And boy, did she want it. It was everything she wanted. She was a marketing person. And so she had gone for a number of interviews. And finally, she had the final interview. And it was between her and another person. And on the way to the interview, she called me and said, okay, Gail, what if this is the time I mess up? I want this so much. Mm-hmm. What if I blow it?
Yeah.
I said, don't be ridiculous. You're not going to blow it. Let's just remember how good you are, how right you are for this job. And anyway, I said, you got your song, don't you? And this is all on her, you know, cell phone talking to me while she's on her way to the interview. Uh-huh. I said, sing it, will you? It's New York. Sing it out loud. Doesn't matter. You could just belt it out. Yeah. And so she said, okay. And so she did. And her song was Elton John's The Bitch Is Back.
What is your song, Jim? You need a song. You're listening to The Bitch Is
Back.
She belted that baby out and she called me right
here
up.
Here comes the sun.
Here comes the sun.
Oh, I love that. They hired her on the spot. They said, you know, we want somebody with your kind of energy around here.
That's right.
And that was it. I love Here Comes the Sun.
That's a good one.
Happy is like one of the songs that makes me
happy.
That's
a good one, too, yeah.
I mean, I find every excuse to be happy, but that happy song makes me happy.
I even listen to Christmas music.
Yeah, I love Christmas music.
And Gail, I love your humor, and I think humor needs to be injected in everyday life.
Oh, it does.
It has to be.
Yeah,
it does. It's so much fun.
Yeah, it does. We want to thank you, Gail, because I know you have to scoot off to really spread some more sunshine around our globe. But it's been a real honor and pleasure having you on the show, Gail Blanke, President and CEO of Life Designs and the Motivational Maven. Check out her website, gailblanke.com, GAILBLANKE.com. I know you've enriched all of us here on the Life Talk show afternoon. Yeah, is there a final thought that you have for us and for our listeners, Gail?
I have a final thought for you. And that is that you are absolutely wonderful. having conversations with you is motivates me. Plus, it's a lot of fun, and they're just so honest. And you are so much together. I mean, you're so with each other.
Thanks, Gail.
We
That's
love
wonderful.
You. We love you.
We appreciate
Thank
that.
Thank you.
I love you.
Usually when I hear things like that, I say, can you put that in writing and address it management?
Who cares about the management? Right. Why we, your own wings?
We're the management right, of right. our own lives.
Right, oh, yes, that's right. That's wow,
it.
Jim.
That's it. Gail, thank you so much.
Gail, thank you.
Thank you for your time. So we love you. Keep on writing.
Take care. So we'll have you back on the show soon, I'm sure.
Anytime.
With book six.
Okay. That's right. Book six. We'll be in it. Take care.
Bye.
Thanks, Gail.
What a great guest, huh?
Love her.
She's
absolutely
wonderful.
Ah. Yeah. So what were you left with? Was there anything that you were left with that stands out from her? I was left with that she just be.
Just breathe and be yourself. And it's okay to make mistakes. And I think we're all, you know what? I think just the humanness of life. I mean, it's okay to just be.
Right.
And I think we forget that. But I wonder if by just kind of letting down your guard and, you know, with
filters.
And some filter
of it's our training, too.
It is.
The way we're trained, you know, to in certain aspects, whether it's our career, we were trained to react or act in certain ways,
right.
maybe through our parental, you know, yeah. be good, be right. stand up straight, do the right thing,
right.
you know, and all of that you take with you.
Yeah. Well, I loved it, like Gail was saying, and I listened to that one piece that she said at the very beginning, that you don't necessarily need to be preaching or teaching. And for me, you know, that's what I know and what
teacher.
I've done. So I'm,
right.
I always,
right.
I feel right. in some regard that I always feel like I'm kind of teaching or preaching
me
in a way.
Too. Yeah.
Right. But yeah. it's
because they're on the air and
yeah.
the host. Or,
maybe
so
because,
you feel,
do that,
right.
but just
well,
it's part of the training.
Maybe because I love you both. I don't feel like you're teaching, but I think you like to share and you also are great listeners. And I think we tend not to give enough credit to who we are.
Right.
Because you guys are wonderful, in my opinion.
We love
Thanks,
you too, Nikki.
Oh, this is a big love
hey,
fest.
Hey, we
want to
let our audience know. Yeah, next week, Love Fest. We want to plug our next show here for you on the Life Talk Show. Join us next week for yet another fascinating show to enrich and, of course, empower your life. Here at the Life Talk Show, we will be talking about the blue zones. What are the blue zones? You will find out. And how to live to 100.
Ooh.
So you're not going to want to miss that episode. Find out more. Visit us at our website, thelifetalkshow.com. Leave a comment. Your thoughts and ideas for future shows are always appreciated and welcomed. And how also you can be a sponsor on our show and possibly a guest as well. And we're also on Facebook. We do want to thank the gracious sponsors for this episode of The Life Talk Show. First, we want to, of course, thank the wonderful studio where we're coming from right now, Baobab Tree Studios, formerly known as The Grove Studios, located at 71 Orange Street in New Haven, Connecticut. And thanks to our technical team, they are really, really terrific. Also, thanks for the support of Dynamic Printing at dynamicprinter.com and Gabriel Tax and Accounting Services at gabrieltax.com. And it is that time of the year, tax time. So that's a good one to check out.
That is a good one. Right. And their prices are right, too.
Oh, absolutely. So we have some tips that we want to share. We've been working on some tips for a while that we want to share with our audience. And Gail left us with, you know, that nice tip and something to go with for ourselves. But
that we're all wonderful.
Yeah, absolutely. So
and honest and sincere.
What is?
I love what she mentioned.
What is your tip for our audience?
Well, before I go into my tip, I just want to mention Randy's because she is not with us, but
exactly.
She left a tip for the Monday Morning Motivator with Gail Blanke. And her tip is, don't judge each day by the harvest you reap, by the seeds you plant. Louis Stevenson, plant some seeds today where you want them to grow. That is Randy's tip for the Monday Morning Motivator.
That's a nice one, yeah.
For the show. And mine is look at everything around you with new eyes. You know, so often we look at the new landscapes and we think that it's going to make better if we find new places. But if you... you discover the real voyage of discovery consists not in seeking new landscapes, but in having new eyes. Marcel Proust. Isn't that Proust?
Yeah.
Proust. Yeah.
So it's almost connecting to what mine was because Mine is, your time is limited, so don't waste it living somebody else's life. Similar to what you're saying, the grass isn't always greener, you know, over the fence. And that was a quote, actually, about your time is limited, so don't waste it living someone else's life. That was from Steve Jobs. Because a lot of people today, we are living in a very celebrity-driven culture, social media. Mm-hmm. Everybody's watching what everybody else is doing. And as opposed to attending to and nurturing their own lives and those around them, they want to be somebody else. They want to aspire to this other person. And you don't even know what their life is really about. It might not be everything that it's propped up to be. So a lot of people are hung up on that now because of internet technology and just the celebrity-driven culture that we're in. It's really best, mm-hmm. I think, as we've all been able to do successfully thus far, is find your own passion and really super serve it. Really, really live it. Breathe it, fine-tune it, and of course, share it with others. Because when you share it with others and you get the response of others mm-hmm. and the feedback from others, it's wonderful. Basically, do what you love and live your life, which ties into what Gail said, live it.
Right. Yeah. And you know, when you bring up the social media aspect of it, and especially with...
Wait, hang on. I got a tweet. Oh, God.
Okay. Cute, Jim. You're cute.
Tweet the updates.
No, but guys, it's true.
Well, you know, I just, before I go into my tip, I just want to say with Jim, you know, Jim, I'm a big follower of yours on social media, and I'm always looking at your life, and you know, we tend to get my mother. Yeah. We should have coffee sometime.
Coffee talk.
Yeah. I love that show, by the way.
So, you know, we definitely get caught up in other people's lives with that whole social media thing. Instead of living our lives and following our passions, we might just be happier as a generation or as a society as a whole if we're not really living through the eyes of somebody else, and our life can be like mm-hmm. that. Why isn't it like that kind of thing? So,
yeah. So what's your tip?
Well, I'd like to take credit for my tip, but then Zig Ziglar would not be happy. So, I loved this. You can have everything you want in life if you just help enough people get what they want in life. So that goes back to what Gail said with the dog and the guy in the wrapped blanket in the cab.
That she sacrificed her brand new shoes. And I remember that blog that she wrote because Carrie Bradshaw, she was mentioning it on... Sex and the City, mm-hmm. that there goes like in line of those kind of shoes. Like we're talking about click.
Yeah.
A lot of money. And there goes the shoes because she made somebody happy.
Right.
By sacrificing the shoes over his pet's life.
Yep. So you help enough people doing that. You might be broke because your shoes are all ruined, but you'll be happier.
Yeah. And I go happy over broke.
Yeah.
Right.
My vote is on happy over broke because, you know, it's important for us to stand up for something. And it was interesting because through this show, I found out a few things about Jim, and Jim is our new, and new member of the Life Talk Show. And I enjoyed getting to know a little bit about you when you were sharing with Gail the fact that you kind of want everything to work just right and plan. And sometimes that can be exhausting.
Yes, it can. Oh, absolutely. You're
so
great,
too.
Energy.
It's draining.
So I want to spend a few last minutes before we
wrap up
about you, and that I enjoyed getting to know a little bit about you more and our listeners. That you kind of are a perfectionist.
A little bit, yeah.
He's going to keep us on the straight and narrow,
that's
Nikki.
Right.
That's
looking at that
is.
Clock to make
Absolutely.
Sure that we are on time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, because I do like that Gail addressed Jim's way of being, and that you are one of the 50 things to throw away. The number one should be perfection.
We're
going to
throw Jim away.
Already?
I'm not going to throw Jim away, but I'm going to consider the perfection part.
Well,
but
before the hook comes out.
It works well when you do gardening.
Right.
Really, everything. All the plants are, you know.
Yeah.
No, but who was that famous basketball player that he retired? And he said, I failed 1,000 times and then I succeeded.
Yeah, it does take a lot
Michael,
of failure.
Michael
to...
Jordan,
yes.
That's right. Who said that. And there's a friend of mine, her son has his poster in his bedroom. And the kid now, he's like, he failed like 1,000 times. And now he's like this big shot John Hopkins doctor and does research. And he still has that poster in his bedroom that I failed 1,000 times and then I succeeded.
So we're not going to dwell on any sort of striving for perfectionism for the remaining seconds of our show. Right. What I'm going to do is take my notes and just throw them all over the place. Throw them in the air, loosen the tie. Hey.
Even though you're not wearing a tie. Yeah.
Turtleneck.
Right.
Well, we want to thank our fabulous guest, Gail Blanke, one more time. Her website, GailBlanke.com. She was a wonderful guest. We want to thank you, our listeners, too, for your support of our show. Tell all of your friends. Don't forget our website, thelifetalkshow.com.
And wish Randy.
And we wish Randy a speedy recovery. She'll be back with us soon as well. Don't forget our show next week. We look forward to your suggestions and comments. For now, I'm Jim Masters.
Nikki Tombolidis.
And Diana Hall.
This is The Life Talk Show. Take care. We're thanking you for your time this time. Till next time on The Life Talk Show.
You've been listening to The Life Talk Show. If you have an idea for a future topic, would like to be a guest or a sponsor of our show, or just tell us what you think, please email us at info@thelifetalkshow.com. Our Twitter handle is @LifeTalkShow, and our Facebook page is The Life Talk Show. Sharing ideas for meaning, joy, and success. The Life Talk Show with Randy, Diana, and Nikki. The Life Talk Show. Join us.